Hey everyone, welcome to the In Your Business podcast. This is Michael Sayer with CUI Wealth Management. CUI Wealth Management produces this podcast. Today, I have invited Matt Vance to join us today. So Matt, why don't you take a minute, tell us a little bit about yourself, give us a quick introduction about yourself and your company, if you don't mind.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, Michael. And hello everyone, I'm Matt. I'm the CEO of Mobrium. We are the first and only aggregator of employee reviews. So I guess the simple explanation is we help you manage all feedback across sites like Glassdoor, Indeed, Comparably, and InHerSight so that you can know what your employees are saying, how you're being rated online, and simplify the management of all those feedback streams. I've also written a book called The Review Cycle. It's all about managing online reviews and over about a decade of managing reputation for different industry businesses, I've discovered a simple approach, a four-step approach to optimizing feedback, whether that's for customer feedback in product reviews on Amazon, Wayfair, Overstock, and other e-commerce sites, or customer reviews on Google, Facebook, Yelp, TripAdvisor, or even for those employee reviews on sites like Glassdoor and Indeed. There's a similar methodology that you can use to optimizing those public feedback loops, those reviews, to help you generate more sales, get more applicants to your jobs, and ultimately drive your business forward. So the methodology that we use for our software at Mobrium is the same methodology that's written about in my book, The Review Cycle. It's just automating as much of it as possible and leveraging software so that there's fewer human touch points and it increases the cost efficiency of managing your reviews.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the introduction. Part of the reason why I wanted to bring you in on the podcast is one of the topics I think is really interesting with business is distribution channels. So what I mean by that is you can have the best product out there. You can have the best service. And if nobody knows about you, then you're not going to sell anything. You're not going to grow your company. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that, but I also wanted to talk about some correlations internally and how that plays a role, you know, the importance of distribution channels. And I think, you know, just the way that you've set up your company and what you do, I think that's a perfect example of, I think there's some great topics that we can discuss here during this conversation. So one of the first things I wanted to talk about is just, you know, the power of having the right channels to communicate your business message. As I was thinking about that, I was thinking about someone had said that stories are the currency of human relationships. I think it's Robert McKee. And I think that's a really interesting concept because really our businesses kind of tell a story to those who see the product and consume the product. I'd be interested to kind of see your perspective as you've been growing your company and how that relates.
And I had to write down that quote, Michael, because that's very profound. I think that's spot on. Stories really illustrate so much connection. And from my experience managing reputation for different organizations, I've seen that reviews tell that story at scale, that there's trust in the social proof that the online community provides. And in fact, 92% of consumers will use online reviews for their decision-making, whether it's a product they want to buy, a service they want to buy, what restaurant they're going to go to, what dentist they're going to use, even what professor they want to have on their next semester's schedule. There's, you know, ratemyprofessor.com. But the thing that's crazy is 85% of consumers trust these reviews as much as a personal recommendation. So reviews are so accessible and there's so many of them that most of the time we say, well, the online community can't be wrong as a some voice, right? So there's a lot of trust that gets put in those reviews. And of course, there's some ways to manipulate it. But I think you're spot on as far as distribution goes. There's lots of types of distribution. That's which retail channels you have a product on a physical shelf where it's available for purchase or which retailers you can go buy something on. But I think it's also worth mentioning and discussing the distribution channels of word of mouth advertising, the different types of user-generated content, UGC, that is available online. And reviews is definitely a big one. You've got social media as well, all the mainstream social media platforms. You've got video content like TikTok and YouTube Shorts. People are watching unboxing videos. They're watching reviews, video reviews, interviews of different products and services. All these different forms of user-generated content are, it's word of mouth distribution channels that are found online. But I get asked a lot of like, well, why don't you track social media, or is social media and other forms of user-generated content as valuable as reviews as far as impact on buying behaviors? And they're both important, but I've always remained or held the opinion that reviews trump any form of social media. And the reason is every review is tied to an actual rating. Like a social media post may go viral, but eventually it won't be relevant anymore. Every post has a shelf life of recency, and there is no rating that impacts a long-standing average rating of a product or service. So every time an employee writes a review, a customer writes a review, there's sentiment, positive or negative, what the review is actually saying, but then there's a rating that affects the overall score. And that overall score is the number one determiner if people will click into your offering and if they ultimately will buy. And so it's critically important to manage reviews, but also other forms of social media content that are forms of word of mouth distribution.
So along those lines, one of the things that comes to mind is I think when it comes to business, really it comes down to the product or service that you have. It tells a story of what you're trying to accomplish and what kind of impact you can have on society and what kind of value you can offer. And I think talking to you about this, it makes me think that with a review or with some kind of client experience, I think that's a good method to see if the communication and if the story matches what the company is trying to accomplish. Because if you're, and I think it's also when you look at different reviews, for example, you can see the comments often why they give that review. And I think employers, if they recognize that their story isn't matching up with what people are saying, I think that's when you get people that are upset, because, you know, maybe the product isn't, or the service isn't useless for a certain audience, but if it's presented a certain way and it doesn't meet that expectation, I think that's where the concerns come. And when there's a little bit of a misalignment between a company and the employees or the product or service. I love to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, you're spot on, Michael. Managing expectations is absolutely key. In fact, there's a couple different studies I reference in my book. One of them was by the Harvard Business Review, and they talk about consumers' willingness to spend more and rate higher based on alignments of expectations. And they went through a couple different studies. One of them was like concert goers going to different concerts, and they evaluated, you know, if the artist said they were a country singer, did the listeners believe that they were actually a country singer, and did that genre that they were self-labeling, was it accurate? And then another evaluation they did was of restaurants. And they looked at, okay, if this restaurant is claiming to be authentic Mexican or authentic Italian, did they believe that the food and the experience and the environment was authentic to what it was portrayed? And they found in both cases that the closer you were aligned to what the consumer would expect to be a certain genre or a certain food category, they were willing to spend more and rate higher. And I've seen that firsthand as well, with both with products and selling products on Amazon and other sites, but also with company culture and employee feedback. If you can manage expectations of what a benefit is. What is PTO? How can it be used? And what use cases is it allowable or not allowable? What is flexibility? What does that mean? When are you allowed to leave or not leave, or those types of things? Being very specific with those expectations, or on a product side of specific use cases where a product can and cannot be used, or what voids the warranty. All of those little details, understanding them and then managing them and describing them accurately can increase your ratings and then increase your sales without even spending more money. A lot of the times you don't need to redo your benefits and your PTO policy. You don't need to launch a new version of the product. You need to understand what customers are saying about it, what are they expecting from it, and how can you better communicate the outcome and experience that customers and employees should expect. And that will lead to greater satisfaction, greater profitability, and lower, turnover, those types of things.
It's interesting because as you're talking, I was thinking about how people have a different perspective based on their past. If you say, hey, this, like, you know, this is a big ice cream cone, like it might be big to you, but comparatively to someone that has seen something else, it might not be that the same thing. Like it might not be in perspective, the same quality or the same size or whatever the case may be. And so I think really kind of the undertone that I get from this conversation is that it's important to have open communication and to be able to understand perception. And I think a lot of companies could do better if they were able to realign those expectations and realign what they mean and what the context is behind their message. So I just think that's kind of what comes to mind in this conversation.
Yeah, you're spot on.
One of the things I wanted to talk about is when you're running a company, or even if, you know, if it's a massive company or C-suite, or if it's a small company, I think that it's the same thing. The same truth applies, that you have two sets of customers. You have the customer that's buying your product or service, but you're also having, and maybe there's a better label than a customer, but I think your employees are in a lot of ways similar to a customer because they could go work somewhere else. But you want them to be working for you for the reasons that align with your value and your company strategy. And I kind of want to unpack that with you a little bit. And one of the things I wanted to start off with is there's a quote that I love from J. Willard Marriott Jr. And he is the Chariot Emeritus of Marriott International, so the Marriott Hotels. And he says, take care of your employees and they will take care of your customers. And I love that quote because I think leadership comes from the head down. You have to be able to show what you're expecting, how clients are expected to be taken care of. And so if you're saying like, take good care of our clients, but then you're treating your employees another way, if you're not treating them well, mm-hmm. then the actions speak louder than the words.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really important that the things that you do and the message that you put out there to not only the world, but to the company, like the employees that are part of your group, That's equally important. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, and maybe you can expound a little bit with your experience.
Yeah, I think you're right on there, Michael. And the terminology I use is just stakeholder groups. Like you've got customers, they're a stakeholder. You've got investors, employees, even the general public can be a group of stakeholders. And all these different stakeholder groups are looking at you in different ways as a business, right? The customers are looking at the products you sell, the services you offer, and what other people are saying about those things. Job seekers are, and current employees have a similar outlook at looking at you, but the job seeker is pre-employment and looking from the outside, and the employee is inside looking around of what's going on. But one thing that I like to call attention to is these different stakeholders, the things that they're looking at have crossover, right? Like your employee reviews can influence your customers. Like, do I, especially as the purchase consideration gets larger, like let's say I'm looking to build a house and, you know, there's a lot, that's a huge purchase. There's a lot that goes into buying a house. I would love to read employee reviews of the home builder to see how the people that are literally going to build my house feel about working for their employer. And if they hate it, I probably don't want them building my house. Right. And so there is spillover. And the same thing is for job seekers, right? Like if a job seeker sees that all of your products are ranked or rated really horribly, and there's a lot of negative talk about your business on Reddit and other, you know, online spaces, they probably are less likely to apply because they don't want to be associated with a company that has all this negativity. And so when you talk about distribution channels, and when it comes to word of mouth marketing and all this, the different forms of content that users, us, that we can share online, there's so much spillover that the best practice of managing your reputation and managing those distribution channels is paying attention to all of it, to having a holistic approach and having a plan in place for collecting and managing employee feedback and customer feedback and every other profile where you could exist in between, and recognizing the spillover, that halo effect of consumers do look at those other platforms.
Mm-hmm. When I look at companies, you know, we use that term corporation, and it's kind of body or its own entity. And I think these companies kind of take on a life of their own. And if you don't have communication and ways of, if you don't have good communication and ways to put out there how you want your company to be portrayed, I think that can have an impact. But the other thing I think is really important is you look at reviews and feedback, and I think that's a really good opportunity for companies to understand if they need to make a pivot, if things aren't aligning. So that's kind of one of the things that I was thinking of. So I guess one of my last questions is, with your perspective, with what you've done in your company, what kind of words of advice or final parting words would you give to those who are involved in either HR and trying to communicate the message to the employees, as well as how they communicate and distribute, like how the company distributes their message to the world as a whole? Just any kind of parting knowledge or wisdom that you can offer?
I guess the big advice I would give to HR and people leaders is never assume what your employees need. Ask them. First, go out and understand what's top of mind for them. And especially if you're doing that systematically with like an engagement survey or monitoring your employee reviews, like what Mobrim does, we track all of that. You can then understand the top experience drivers, both positive and negative. And then you can address those things more systematically with greater data to know how to specifically support your employees. And as you're doing that and you're returning and reporting to your workforce, to your team, you're going to increase trust. They're going to see that you're taking their feedback seriously, and they're going to be more willing to share more specific feedback that will drive even greater improvement. So it becomes this virtuous cycle of improvement of listening to your employees and then reporting back to your employees and listening again.
Awesome, Matt. This has been an awesome conversation. I've learned a lot and had some new perspective. Appreciate you coming and joining. So we're going to end here. And thanks again for all those who have tuned in. Once again, this is Michael Sayer at CUI Wealth Management. This is the In Your Business podcast produced by CUI Wealth Management. Hope to see you next time. Thanks.
Thanks. We'll see you.